Welcome to the Finance Path Podcast, where we discuss all your burning questions relating to money, property, and investment for every stage of life. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Attard and Chris Collard.
Hi, listeners. Mark Attard here from Finance Path. Welcome to Money, Property, and You. It's a fantastic spring day here in Melbourne, and I'm in a particularly good mood. I've got the spring racing carnival is in full effect, and I think the fact that I'm heading away on a holiday in the next couple of days probably has something to do with it as well. I am also excited, though, to be joined by Jackie Wyford again. Welcome, Jackie.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be back.
Well, for listeners who heard our podcast, Jackie, back in October during Mental Health Week, you and I were discussing, you know, strategies to deal with financial stress and anxiety. And during that podcast, Jackie, we talked about and you relayed some of your personal experiences and some of those of your business coaching clients to help illustrate some of the signs of financial stress and strategies for dealing with it. Now, during that podcast, Jackie, we touched on what you described as a person's money mindset. So today we, and as we were doing that, I thought, geez, there's a podcast in all of that. So today, the topic of our podcast is understanding your money mindset. And it's of particular interest to us as a business because over the years we've run numerous workshops for our clients that has included talking to them about their relationship with money and their money, what we call their money personality. And in those workshops, we've also, you know, talked and touched on some of the observations we've made over the journey about the difference in mindsets between those that have been successful with money, managing their finances and creating some wealth for themselves, and those that haven't. So it'd be great if we could kick the podcast off for our listeners by helping them understand, what do you mean when you're referring to the term money mindset?
Okay, so when I talk around money mindset is, we all have a blueprint per se of ourselves and everything. We have beliefs around certain components in our life. So when it comes to money, the same. We have sort of like a blueprint that's been impacted on us or imprinted on us, I should say, from a young age. So it's around your mindset. What do you mean by wealth? What do you mean by net worth? So everyone will have a different version of this and a different explanation. So you can ask a few people in the world, in the room, if you had a few people in front of you, and ask them, well, what does wealthy mean to you? And some people will say, look, wealthy to me is, you know, I've got a happy family, we're healthy, I can pay my bills. In fact, I actually heard a gentleman say that last week. He said, look, I'm happy. Wealthy to me is I can pay my bills, got a little bit of money in the bank, go on my holidays. And then his wealth is very specific around a dollar amount that he wants to earn per month. He wants to earn, you know, minimum 20K per month because this gives him this wealth blueprint, his strategy, that's what he believes he's worth. So we all have our own value. It's like if you're a self-employed business owner and you want to charge per hour, some might say I charge $50 an hour, some might charge, say I charge $500. And if you say the wrong figure to your blueprint, you'll feel it, you'll have this gut feeling, or you won't be able to convince the other person that the value is in that exchange.
Yeah, okay, yep. Been there, experienced that, seen clients in that situation. Yep.
Yeah. So it's what you think you're worth if you break it right down. And I think I mentioned to this in the last podcast is around what your net worth is. So net worth on a balance sheet means one thing, but net worth to an individual, to a human, can mean so many more things. So it's understanding what that is and what that means for you as an individual.
Okay, so if that's the case, how you talk about it being imprinted on us at an early age, is there a specific age bracket? Is that getting too particular in terms of where we formulate these beliefs that you talk about that and how our money mindset is determined?
Not really, no. Generally, how it works from 0 to 7 is our imprint period. So it's 3 to 5 is really fundamentally the biggest impact period of our time and where our beliefs and values and our standards can stem from. So we can live a life from and have our actions and behaviour and habits created around one statement that was said to us at a very young age. So 0 to 7 is our imprint period, and from 8 to 14 is our modelling period. So if there's something going on in the family, for instance, if the business is not successful, or for some reason you've gone from 2 incomes to 1, or whatever it might be, and there's financial stress in the family, the children in the family, or the little ones in the family, witness that, and they would make that mean something. So from what we see, as through our eyes, what we physically see goes through a filter system. So
that's interesting. So just on that, so when you talk about imprints, so if you're someone that's come from a family where the old man or mum's turned around and said, money doesn't grow on trees, for argument's sake, as one of them, or a situation where the father might turn around and he's always working, and the kids would say, well, why are you always working? And he says, well, I work as many hours as I do, and I don't see you as much because that's how I earn money, and that's how I enable you us as a family to go on holidays, etc. They're pretty powerful, powerful statements that might seem like throwaway lines, but in fact, there's a significant imprint that's happening on us at that early age.
For sure. I'm going to have a document that's downloadable that's going to be free for the people that are listening to the podcast, and on that, we'll actually ask you highlight. Things like, what does money mean to you? You know, money means this, rich people are, that sort of thing. Because majority of what we do is on an unconscious level. So we need to tap into our unconsciousness to find out what our true core beliefs really are. So it's not what we say, it's really what we believe, what's concreted down, you know, deep in ourselves almost from a young age that we've keep living and we keep hearing. And there's numerous ones. I grew up on a rural farm. And, you know, some of the things that I heard when I was younger, and it's by no fault, there's no blaming here on your parents said this, so they're bad people. That's not it at all. I have a belief that everyone does the best they can with the ability and the knowledge that they have at that point of time. So, you know, when we, and I think we touched on this before, is when we grew up, when our parents grew up, their parents went through a depression. So, you know, you ate everything on your plate. Now we have an epidemic of children that eat too much because you have to eat everything on your plate. Mm. You know, like we have an abundance now where they had a scarcity mindset. So depending on, and that's a good extraction in the coaching world, is working out whether people are at a scarcity mindset or of an abundance mindset, because that impacts how you operate with your money.
Is that easy to determine for someone like yourself? Like is that a long process to understand, or can you tell by looking at someone?
You can't tell by looking at someone, but a lot of the time you can pick up on by what they don't say.
Okay, so what they don't say is sometimes more powerful than what they do. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Your communication model, like 7% of our communication is words, terminology, and body language. So when you really, and it goes back to when we're talking about Mental Health Week, is really watching and listening when you're having conversations with people.
Yeah. Yeah, so if we talk about how is our money mindset determined, are we preconditioned? Is it set? Is it that's what we've got for life? Or, yeah, how, no.
No, thank goodness.
Yeah, okay, cool, yep.
The world is changing and, you know, everything's now digital online. And if you're willing to take the action and have the right mindset that there is an abundance there for you and that there is so much money in the world, I can't recall the statistics right now, but the amount of money floating around in the world is massive. Mm-hmm. So you only need to tap in a tiny little bit of that money floating around and you're going to be wealthy by money standards.
Mm.
There's so much money going around. They're printing money all the time when you look at the big picture. So there is an abundance. Have an abundance mindset. That's the first thing that you need to do. Work out whether you're in scarcity or in abundance, and then have a look at what values and beliefs you have around money. Work out, are they limiting beliefs or are they empowering you?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So when you talk about, when we talk about different types of mindsets, is it simply abundance and scarcity, or is it deeper and broader than that?
There's a lot more mindsets out there, because I think we have a blueprint around, and I'll coach people around, you know, like I'm passionate about people having a happy, healthy life. So I'll coach them around where they see themselves as an individual, and that could be in size, as in health, as in finances, relationships. There's a lot of mindsets out there. Anything we do, we can have a mindset around the ability of whether we can speak in public or not, whether we're going to have a good relationship or not. So ultimately, though, I believe, and from what I've seen in coaching, is the scarcity and the abundance mindset can influence all areas of your life.
Okay.
If you're in a, you know, it can influence your relationships, you know, your business, your health. You know, I think it can influence all areas of your life.
So if someone's looking to come and have a chat with you and says, I want to understand my money mindset, it's not a case of putting up a little diagram there with nine boxes and saying, okay, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and it's going to tell me you're one of these nine different types of mindsets.
No, it's a little bit, the process I use is a little bit more involved than that. Item profiling, which gives me an insight of what your natural personality and behaviours are, and that covers all areas of your life. That gives a great awareness and insight to how you may make decisions or how you see things, whether you're after the shiny things or whether you take time in purchasing things or whether you're a split-second purchaser. So it gives a massive insight to the behaviour. So then when you chunk that up further and look at what that behaviour could mean in a money sense, and then you'll chunk that up even further. And when I say by chunking, it's just like asking further questions and going to the next level.
Yep.
And so then you understand, well, what is it that they truly believe and have lived around about themselves and about their money?
Okay, so
there's a process to go through, yeah.
Okay, so once you've identified that, and say someone's come to you because they feel that they don't have, let's call it a healthy relationship with money or a really strong mindset around money, what can someone do, or how do you go about improving, if that's the right word, your relationship with money? You've got to determine where you are and where you're at to start with, and whether there's actually improvement for one person could be totally different to improvement for somebody else. Because again, as you mentioned at the start, it's really around what's important to you, like what's satisfying to you.
First thing you really need to do is realize where they're at and where they want to go, so what the gap is, and then work out a process to pretty much fill that gap. So it's about them owning up that they want to sort of step up and take a bit more responsibility, have more involvement of the choices that they're consciously making about themselves, because everything we do is a choice. We're just choosing when we make that choice. So if we're spending money on the latest things, oh, but I needed it because someone had it or whatever it is, you're choosing to do whatever you want to do. Consciously, you may be aware of it, you may not. So the first thing is finding out where you are at on a conscious level, and then we start out what unconscious things are sort of bubbling up and affecting you on a day-to-day basis. And you'll often hear me say this in talks I do and different coaching programs, is the problem is not always the problem. It generally isn't the problem. So if someone has a problem with money and overspends, or because they want all the new things, then I would have a look at them and take the money problem per se, if we can use those words, and change it into, well, let's talk about wealth. Let's talk about net worth. Because when you talk about net worth, you're starting to open up the conversations around self-worth.
Yeah, we keep coming back to this. I think this is really important as well. I mean, you could, correct me if I'm wrong, you could apply this as well to why does someone sit on the couch and overeat every night? Okay, that's a function of something else that's going on. So they're spending.
They don't value themselves.
Yeah, that spending pattern or using money as a way to make themselves possibly feel good, if they actually have the money, might be a cover for something else. Am I on the right sort of track there?
Yeah. Yes, you are. We've sort of mentioned before the Art of Happiness, the scientific formula of that, and we'll cover that in another one, but that talks around percentages of what makes us happy. and we focus a lot on material and external products and material items to make us happy. It's a quick fix. And the reason we do that is because we're conditioned to do it. Everywhere we go, there's marketing and advertisement saying, you'll be better at this, you need this, you need this. We're told how to live our lives. We're told how to be as human beings. We've never told or never explained that we have a choice in a lot of this, because we're marketed to on such a big scale every day of our lives, from basically the day that we're born. We are from the day that we're born, because if you're a girl, you get put in pink. If you're a boy, you get put in blue. It's all marketing and sending messages to our conscious and unconscious mind.
Yeah, okay. So
money's the same thing.
Money's the same thing, yeah. And if we then, so if we, to go back a step, and our listeners are hearing this and they're going, okay, well, I've tuned into this podcast because I was interested in understanding a little bit more about what money mindset and what these guys would be rattling on about. But I don't feel that I'm necessarily great at managing my money, or I'm not achieving professionally the level of success that I would expect, or I'm not great at saving up enough, or I really feel like I should buy that next investment property. If they're feeling some dissatisfaction with their financial position and they're attributing that to not having a strong or a healthy money mindset, is there any particular strategies, past, as you said, understanding exactly where you're at, that they can start to employ to improve that mindset?
Yeah, there is. And there'll be a three-step page that I'll send to you that you can forward on so people can download. And it's pretty much around recreating the blueprint, your money mindset blueprint. So I talk. The main thing is, well, before you go into the three steps, you have to commit to yourself that you're ready to make change.
Yep.
Okay, so that's number one. So if a client comes to me, that's a give me. I don't say, well, you know, my expectation is, you come to me for help, then you're ready to commit to change. You're ready to take a little bit of a chance and make some changes, because it's the only way change will happen.
Which is another step on from admitting that there's something that needs to be addressed, because it's great to admit it and say, yeah, I've got an issue here, I've got a problem here, I want to improve that. It's another thing, though, to turn around and say, I am going to do something about it.
Yeah. And in that, even have accountability people, buddies around you. Tell your family, tell your friends, or tell someone that you have the confidence that you can trust, whether it's an advisor or whether it's someone near you, that you can share and say, look, I really want you to check in with me each week and see how I'm going, because this is what I'm going to do moving forward. This is why. You've got to have a why behind you doing things.
Yeah, it's huge.
There's no inspiration behind it. So you can get motivated for a while. Motivation doesn't last long.
Yeah,
So the first thing is to realize, okay, something's not quite right here. I need to do something about it. Verbally say that, write it on the wall, do whatever you need to do, but step up as an individual and take, and you need to make some changes for this. Then I would tell people about it, so then they can keep you accountable, because we don't really keep people accountable unless you have a coach that keeps you accountable or an advisor. Who keeps you accountable? No one. So then if you don't do it, then you fall back into the trap of thinking, well, I didn't succeed now, so I won't try again. So then we fall back into the traps of some of the general fears that we have as humans of not being good enough and not succeeding. So
yeah.
We sort of play this, we go on this cycle. So we need to bust the cycle. How do you bust the cycle? And I have a strong belief that if we have some accountability partners to pull us through those hard times,
yep,
that's one way of breaking the cycle.
Yep.
So to recreate your mindset, you have to realize this at the start, realize and commit to it. And once you do that, work out every time money comes up for you, what are you thinking, what are you hearing, what are you seeing? Touch into the modalities of what the experience is. For you.
All right, now you lost me. You know, Jackie, I have to pull you back sometimes. Modalities. What do we mean? Modalities.
Yeah, I think, sorry.
Good with numbers, not good with language, Jackie. Not good with language.
I do. And I did a talk this morning, so I've been talking this language all day.
Yeah.
Great pull up. Okay, so what I mean by modalities and what I call modalities are things, sight, your touch, your smell, your heart space, that. So your modality. So whether you hear what you're seeing. So if you're going in to buy a shop, we have buying strategies, which is a whole other conversation. So there's a way how we process and go through a strategy to how we make a purchase.
I can tell you mine. It's to go into a shop, see the first thing that I half like and buy it and get out of there.
Yeah.
Probably like a lot of blokes.
That tells me a lot about your personality behavior style then too. Like if that's what people do, because some people don't need to research it and some people will take a period of time and all of this sort of stuff. So it's when you talk about money or when you're going to make a purchase, especially something that's not just an average purchase, do you get any feelings around that? What do you see? What do you hear? What are you saying to yourself? And sometimes when I say, what do you hear? It's what the voices inside of you are saying. You know, can I afford this? Can I not afford it? What am I going to have to give up to this? Do I deserve having something so good, something so beautiful and valuable? There's all these things that you can pick up if you listen to yourself, to stop and actually listen to yourself going through that experience.
Yep, understand.
So that's what I'm talking around there. So when you realise what, and they're little triggers per se of things, when you understand that, then you'll understand a little bit more around your mindset around money. And go through, if you like, I've got a list of, it's about 100 money beliefs and values. I can forward that through to you as well to make available to the listeners.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Go through and circle. Oh, yeah, that's right. My mum used to say that to me. My dad used to say that to me. You know, rich people are crooks. You know, rich people are this. And I say, well, reframe that. What about rich people can give more? So once you realise what is holding you back and limiting you, then you have to realise, well, I've got to stop that. Sometimes when we just stop things, we need to replace it with something. So that's when I say you reframe it. So if you're brought up on, you have to work hard to make a living, things like that, or, you know, whatever the sayings are, I actually find it harder now to go back and find the unresourceful beliefs around money because I've worked for so long and I have very resourceful beliefs now around money.
Yep.
So I could wrap off more of those than the unresourceful ones. So you have a look at that you believe to be true. What are your common sayings that you do? Write them down. Is it helping you get to where you want to go or is it holding you back? If it's helping you, rock on and keep that belief. That's okay. If it's not, or even if you're not sure, then reword it.
But to go through this process though, Jackie, correct me if I'm wrong, I've got to be committed, as you said at the start, like to sit down and write it down. And as you mentioned before, there has to be a really clear why and a purpose, which is interesting because when we sit down with clients in the first discussion, they'll come to us because they require a loan. And we endeavour to dig a little bit deeper at the start and ask them, well, it's not a loan that you want. It's the house or it's an investment property. And what does that actually mean to you? And, you know, what's a little bit of your deeper purpose or your why? Because unless you've got that, you understand that, you know, there's potential challenges and hurdles all along the way past that purchase.
Yeah, we're human beings with emotions. We have emotions, we have feelings, we're not robots. So I want to do, you know, as you say, buy this, you need to have an attachment to it. I mean, when we look at even how our brain works, you know, we have three parts of our brain and we have a rational part which makes us different to a lot of the animals. We need to tap into our brain and into our heart space to understand why we're doing it. If, as you say, if you don't, then you don't have any inspiration to continue doing it, problems will arise. You won't take care of things like you should. So you need to understand why you're doing it and then chunk it back. We tend to almost, I want to buy a property now and I want to do this. And what I suggest to people is have a look at the big picture and write what is the big picture and then chunk it back into a realistic time frame. Even the SMART goals, again, keep coming up.
You know,
be specific, be measurable, attainable, realistic and timely.
Yeah, okay. So we're at that. So when we're talking about improving our money mindset, we're in that reframing stage. So past reframing, is there anything else that we need to be doing? You talked about those three steps.
Yeah, what we need to do is, as you said, realize it and commit, and then you reframe it. So once you've realized what's not working for you, you reframe it into something that will,
yep.
And you just need to recreate what your mindset is around money. So when you're dealing with money, be aware of the decisions you're making and why you're making them. And it's like happiness, you know, it's a daily, you know, you need to do things daily to create a happy life. You need to do things daily to create a happy, a good blueprint around money.
Yeah, okay. So again, it comes back, as you mentioned before, to that commitment. One of the things that I'm really interested to understand from your experiences is we see a lot of couples coming in to talk to us about their money, their finances, buy a home, restructure debt. And it always fascinates me how often it appears that the two partners aren't necessarily on the same page. Or, you know, and I think it's natural, one might be driving the appointment or be in charge of this area of the couple's life. How important in your mind is understanding your partner's money mindset in relationships? And what are some of the issues that you see if that isn't understood?
I think it's like any part of a relationship. It's a fundamental part. If not, it's one of probably the bigger parts, especially in today's society where money is quite easily available if you want to push yourself and obtain it. And it's quite disposable. Things are quite disposable. So to understand the mindset of your partner, because you need to be on the same page. You might be in the same book, but if you're not on the same page, then you're working towards different goals.
Sort of like James Packer and Mariah Carey, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Sort of. They're on the same page.
Similarities there. Yeah, it's true. Because if you've got somebody that's got an abundance mindset with someone with a scarcity mindset, it affects the relationship in so many ways. But on a money basis, they're not going to enjoy it. So if you're and you take your partner away on an abundant holiday, they're not going to really enjoy the holiday as much as they can because they'd be worrying about how much is this going to cost. So they're not really going to be living in that present moment and really enjoying it for what it is. It
can be a real challenge for families and, you know, when you get together in groups and you head away as well too. Seen that plenty of times.
Yeah, it is. You know, oh, let's go to the bar for cocktails. Oh, I don't want to. I'm not spending $20 on a cocktail. No way. And I'll go back to my room and have a wine of my own or whatever it is. I don't know. Me, I just go for the cocktails.
So,
it is. It's the purchase that you have. I mean, we needed to purchase a new car recently, and it was interesting the conversations my husband and I were having around what a car even meant for us. You know, for me, it gets me to A to B. I don't really need a certain symbol on the front of my car. It needed to do this, this, and this. So it needed to tick some criteria for me.
Yeah.
My husband being, you know, he's more of the providing type mentality for the family, which is great. And it was more, well, he wanted to know that it was safe, he wanted to know it was secure, it was, you know, it was going to deliver and da-da-da-da, have the space for us all. So we had completely different criteria of buying a car.
Yeah.
Actually, it took us about 2 months to really get them motivated to actually go out and decide on one. So, you know, it's when anything you buy that's of a decent monetary amount, it comes up, you know, we're looking at buying a dog. And even then, I'm like, I'm not spending that sort of money on a dog. I mean, I grew up on a farm. So for me, I'm not going to invest that sort of money on a dog, yet I know I would get the reward out of it. So we're even having conversations around what we spend on a dog.
Lots of conversations, Jackie, in your house. Good communication.
Yeah, sometimes too many conversations are probably not enough decision making sometimes.
Does hubby ever turn around to you and say, Jackie, you know what? Let's just do it. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, he often say to me, like holidays, I go, honey, you know what I like on a holiday? It's got to have, you know, a gym, it's got to have a beach, it's got to have a cocktail bar, and I love, you know, like a sauna or something like this. That's my little holiday. You just go and book it.
Yep.
I'm happy. That's my criteria. You do it.
Yeah.
So I let him deal with that. So when it comes to buying things in a relationship, you know, have a look at the conversations that you're having when you buy something and get on the same page before you buy it. So we got clear on this is what I want in a car and this is what he wanted in a car. Well, okay, well, let's find one that gets both of them.
Yeah.
It's got to be compromise, because not everyone can win. So if you have a compromising conversation, then it's a win-win. It affects everything that you do. How, you know, if you renovate a home, how much do you spend on renovations? Do you upgrade the upgrades, or do you buy the cheapest product? You know, if you're doing a bathroom, you buy the cheapest vanity or whatever it might be. So it has a massive impact on everything that you do.
Is one of the challenges in this space as well too, where you see it might be one or it may be both, fighting this, you talked about it earlier, net worth, and not necessarily always defining your net worth by money, but I see it as well too, especially in sort of business owners where you'll get drawn back or they'll get drawn back to defining some form of success by the amount of money that they're earning. What they want to do with it could be totally different, but there is still an attachment to achievement or satisfaction by how much I'm bringing in.
Yeah. Yes. When we talk about, I bring up the beliefs and values a lot, and there's all different types of beliefs. So what I've covered so far is just fundamentally sort of some core beliefs that we have. Is that you can break those beliefs down into identity beliefs, vehicle, different vehicles. So like when you work, your job is a vehicle to earn money. It's not who you are, where some people get that muddled. There's a whole variety of global beliefs out there. It's a completely different conversation. So there's a lot of things that impact us as humans around our beliefs.
Yeah, okay. It's broad. That's big. Yeah, I'm going.
It's broad. And so what we just need to know is what is ours. We need to simplify it and just say, well, what's important to us? Why is it important to us? Tapping back into that why. And business owners, and I see it regularly, is that I want to make this amount of money. Okay, why? Well, that's just sort of the benchmark. Well, that's not good enough benchmark. And you see people detour off plans because they don't really have anything to keep them on track. If you listen to any of the Oprah, I was listening to her earlier on a podcast when I was driving, and, you know, she was about, you know, tapping into you, and if you don't, you're never ever going to achieve your fullest potential. And really, I think as human beings, because it's a miracle that we're even born anyway, we need to tap into our biggest potential. And money is something that can assist us to do that. And to me, that's sort of how money needs to be looked at, but that's sort of my belief around it, is that it's a vehicle to get us to where we want to go. It is not the end result.
Yeah. I just want to finish up with you. You've worked with, and one of the, we've had some really good discussions around this, where you've dealt with people from all varying, backgrounds, but also financial status as well. And for those that, if we were to look at those that are wealthy or have achieved financial independence, can you share with our listeners, is there any key traits or behaviours that those people demonstrate on a more regular basis? And it might be that they just have some better regular habits, or it might be that self-awareness. I often talk to and say that this proactive mindset, as opposed to being reactive towards this area of your life, has a big impact on how much you will achieve or any financial independence. You need to be active. You can't just sit back and expect things to happen. Do you have anything that you could share with our listeners in that space?
Yeah. Noticed is that, well, as you mentioned, I've assisted people with my financial background that have had, you know, they're struggling from payday to payday to pay the rent and to buy food and whatnot. Yet a lot of them are still content because they know where what they've got, they know what their means are, and they live within them. Then you go to the ultra high net worth, the ultra wealthy, let's say, individuals that are earning extremely good incomes, you know, can basically do whatever they want. The difference, and then you'll have, like, there's a whole pocket of people in the middle that aren't quite happy with where they are and don't accept where they are, and they just sort of need to have a look and own where they are, if that makes sense. But the really wealthy people, the difference I've seen then is they don't look for problems, they look for solutions.
Okay, so explain what you mean there.
A lot of the time we look at what obstacles are in our way. We don't look at what opportunities are there. And, for instance, you know, there's a saying around, as one door closes, another one opens. I find that a lot of people are too busy looking at the closed door and looking at the obstacles as opposed to waiting for the opportunities and searching for that new door. So their mindset is, if there's a problem, there's got to be a solution. So how do we solve this? Okay, let's take ownership of this. If they've made a financial decision that hasn't gone well, or they're in business, or if they're salary even, we need to take ownership. There's a lot of blaming out there. Professionals and successful entrepreneurs don't blame. They don't blame, they take ownership for whatever they do. And even if it's their company and they haven't done it, they will take ownership for that and go, right, where's the solution? What do we need to do to solve this problem, and what do we learn from it?
Mm.
So there's no such thing as failure, there's only feedback. And I was talking yesterday is the gentleman who, I can't remember what you call his name now, who created the light bulb. You know, he goes, I didn't mail 10,000 times, I learnt 10,000 ways of how not to make a light bulb.
Mm. Or something like this.
Same. So people that are successful don't fail. There's no such thing as failure. There's only feedback. So they look for opportunities, they look for solutions, and they take ownership. If I had to summarise the three most important attributes of successful people, or the people that have the happiness and wealth.
Yeah, really interesting. Look, thanks very much again for your time. It's been really insightful. I hope our listeners have enjoyed it. You have been very generous there, and you mentioned a number of different materials that you'd be willing to post, which will be great. We'll get those up onto the website in due course. For those that are interested in listening here and saying, geez, I'd like to understand a little bit more about my money mindset, how would they go about getting in contact with you to at least have an initial discussion, or, you know, dot across an email to start that process?
Yeah, well, two ways to get in touch with me is they can jump on my website, which is at Jackie, and I spell my Jackie as J-A-C-Q-U-I.
Fancy, yeah.
At mindset-solutions.com. So I'm available at that. And I'm also available by mobile, which is 0418-419-722.
There you go, guys. How's that? You've got a successful business coach dishing out the mobile via a podcast. There you go. Oh, way, hey, hey.
I should have thought about that one, shouldn't I?
Don't worry. If you want me, if this actually goes, we may edit that out. No, that's fine.
No, it's all good.
Thank you again very much for your time. And you mentioned earlier, we talked about, we have spoken about the art of happiness. So listeners, if you've enjoyed this one, I can guarantee you'll enjoy the next one. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We hope you got a little bit out of it. And join us next time, where we're going to be talking about money and the art of happiness with Jackie Whiteford, who is becoming more and more popular by the day. Thanks again, Jackie.
Thanks, Mark.
For more information about this podcast, or to ask a burning question, visit www.financepath.com.au/podcasts.